Today's podcast is brought to you by the Herzog Foundation. Tish Hyman's social media posts have gone viral since she started making waves about men using the female locker rooms in Gold's Gym in Los Angeles. Now, she's correct that this is a violation of women's rights, but the law in California is on the side of men. She joins us today to talk about what she plans to do next to protect women's spaces. Stay with us. This is the Moms for America podcast. Each week, leaders and everyday champions tell personal stories, share advice, and tackle the issues most important to moms. Hi, moms. I'm Debbie Corlettis, your host, and welcome to the Moms for America podcast. I'm so glad that you moms are joining us again this week. All right, every episode we get together to inspire, encourage, and educate moms in their journey through motherhood. Well, we've got quite the guest today. Let me tell you about her. Tish Hyman is a native of Bronx who moved to Los Angeles 15 years ago for her career as an artist and a Grammy-nominated songwriter. She's also become a women's safety activist after she got tired of seeing men in the female locker room of Gold's Gym where she worked out. All right, Tish, thank you for joining us on the Moms for America podcast. I'm so glad to have you with us.
I'm so glad to be here on the Moms for America podcast. Hey, mommies.
We had some fun in Washington. So I met Tish recently at the U.S. Supreme Court, the stairs of the U.S. Supreme Court, when we were all there for a Protect Women's Sports rally. And Tish came in as one of our speakers. She knocked it out of the park. We had a chance to chat with her and meet. And so that's how we ended up here. How about that at the Supreme Court? Wasn't it amazing?
Oh, it was incredible. Just an incredible feeling to be there supporting and protecting young girls and women of sports and, you know, just seeing all those beautiful faces in the crowd supporting us and standing together, you know, united under the message that women need protection.
Sure. Did you ever think you'd be on the steps of the U.S. Supreme Court or basically where you are now ever championing this message? I mean, this has got to be like a whirlwind for you.
Yes, it is. I've never imagined that I would be doing this in any shape or form. You know, I mean, I've always been the type to speak out about things that I felt were wrong. And in my music is where I mostly did that. So this is something I didn't imagine that I would be, you know, spending the better part of 2025 or the beginning of 2025 yelling at men and telling them they can't come in the restroom with women and that they shouldn't be allowed in women's sports and running down on senators and, you know, letting them know that we're aware of their, you know, extreme policies that they're putting in place.
Yeah.
And making sure that they know we're out to get them and we're out to correct these wrongs because it's so
Well, we've got a lot to talk about, but I do want to just let our audience know that the we just did a blog on this recently for the Moms for America, and maybe of our moms did see the interview with you there and that Moms for America was on Washington. But there are two key cases, and this is an ongoing issue, clearly, but there's two key cases that are in front of the Supreme Court right now from West Virginia and Idaho challenging the fact that there were laws passed in these states protecting women's sports. And again, that's what brought us together. And that's really a lot of the conversation about this is our government, is our leadership. It's crazy that we even have to have laws, right, to protect women's sports. I mean, what do you think about that as an athlete and a trainer yourself? I mean, I know we're going to talk about this more, but the fact that we even have to have laws to protect women and women's sports and spaces.
It just says a lot about where our leadership has fallen, how far we've fallen from reality, how, you know, there are certain things like when I look at certain people's histories of protecting women and saving women's lives to getting to a position where they don't know how to describe a woman, it says a lot about what's happening in our government and that these people might not necessarily be making the decisions all by themselves. And it shows a lot of corruption in our government that we're even here discussing whether or not men should be allowed in women's spaces and sports. Whose idea was it to come up with the change of that?
Well, this affected you personally. Give me a little bit of background on this video, and then we're going to show it, and then we're going to talk a little bit about. So maybe, you know what? Let's do the opposite. Let's show the video of you at the gym, and then we'll talk about it. So here is Tish taking on the gym and educating everybody in that lobby there at the gym about what is really happening. Let's roll that.
Men, grown men with big in the women's locker room. And that's why I'm getting kicked out. And I want to make sure the girls know. The everybody saw that man in the locker room. No one's saying shit. And I'm done with it. It's stupid. It's dangerous. Naked in front of a man without my permission. But I am the one who gets kicked out the gym, y'all. I'm terminated for not wanting men in the locker room.
Well, Tish, you do speak your mind, girl. I mean, the passion, the frustration, anger. You are hot, and I don't blame you at all for just exploding. Tell us what happened that day.
Well, I'm a reasonable woman, so it would have been a lot of things that would have brought me to this place to be yelling like this in a space that I usually am peaceful in. So, you know, after four encounters with three different men in a two-week span, I was livid. Exactly. A lot of people miss that point. It's not, like I said, I'm a very reasonable woman. It would have taken a lot more than one encounter to get me to be screaming like that. It was four encounters.
Four men were in the women's.
Three different men, four different encounters in a two-week span. This was something, it was about seven encounters in total throughout the course of this. But in a two-week span is what drove me insane because I said, this is happening far too much. This is a problem. If this is happening to me this many times in a two-week span, when I work out at a different time every day, that means that men are actively entering the restroom. Men, not just one man, men. That is where I had to step in and say something. And that is why I was screaming, because I saw women who I saw every day for years watching me be walked out by police. And I'm thinking, who's going to tell them what's happening? Because I had told a few women, but not all the women knew. I had about 20, maybe 30 email addresses that I had collected by that time. So me walking out, what you saw was a frustrated woman who realized that there was a serious problem. And I was trying to warn everybody in the gym, the men and the women, because the men did not know what was going on. Men don't know what's happening in the women's locker room. They're not in there. So, yeah.
So this guy and others, tell us some of the scenes, what's happening. So they're coming in. The one guy, I mean, looks just like a man. Like, it's like he's walking into the wrong room. He's not, I don't know what you call all this. It's men and women's locker room, but there's the transgenders that dress like women. There's, you know, there's all this different looks, I should say. But I mean, one of these guys is just a guy walking in there, which is horrific, let alone anyone that's dressed like a woman.
Well, let me help you out there. All of these guys are just guys.
Yeah, right.
There are no trans women. They're just men. And
right.
That is what we lost sight of, the facts.
Yeah.
The fact is that they're men, no matter how they think
That's right.
they're presenting. They think they're presenting the most beautiful ladies they've ever seen. And we see ghouls in the bathroom. So no,
right.
what they're presenting makes absolutely no difference. But I'll tell you this. The first encounter I had was with a male, maybe about 20, somewhere in his 20s. He had on basketball shorts, some eyelashes, and lip gloss. I was like, what are you doing in here?
Mm-hmm.
He refused to leave the room, you know, and that was the first experience I had. But I never saw him again. And then the next time was the one that everyone saw. And this one was problematic because he was in there all the time. And then there was a third one who was an African-American or Black man who tried to pass. But he too had the same air of arrogance, aggression, and anger at the least bit of my discomfort. No understanding, no empathy. They don't have the possibility. They don't understand enough to be empathetic. So he was the same way. He said, lucky I didn't catch you outside. B word. And all I could think about was how many women just are afraid. How many women like
Sure.
yourself, like moms? I thought
Yeah.
about moms. I thought about little girls. Like, I'm a strong woman from the Bronx, and we are all strong women, especially if you've had children, because
Yeah.
I've never done that. And I consider myself to be strong, but I'd run 90 miles per hour in the opposite direction of having a child. It's painful. We are strong women.
Yeah.
And there are just some things that we shouldn't have to be forced to deal with. And all I could think was, I can't imagine a woman who's never been in a sexually compromised situation in that situation. I can't imagine a child who's never seen a man fully
Some
naked in that
16-year-old
situation.
girl. Right.
It's wrong.
It's wrong. It's
That's
wrong.
the
So these
thing.
guys come in. Oh, the women are all in. We don't have to explain this. We know what we do in a locker room, but there's showering going on. What are they doing? Are they walking around changing and flaunting and stay? I mean, how ridiculously uncomfortable and wrong. So you were actually, were you fully exposed at one of these?
I was fully exposed. One, two, three different occasions I was fully exposed. On the final occasion, when the video came out and the guy was addressing him in the locker room, I had just got to the gym and I was going to put my things into the locker room to start my workout. I hadn't even gotten to start my workout. That was another reason why I was pissed. The whole thing was just a nightmare. It was a nightmare, and it just is it's something that woke me up. It was a nightmare that woke me up to a huge problem in our government and in our law. And then it was a problem that woke me up to a huge problem in my state and the poor leadership that is controlling my state. And that is what brought me to run for mayor of Los Angeles. I was like, listen, not only do we have a women's safety issue, we have a fiscal responsibility issue, we have an accountability issue, we have poor leadership within our government. And I couldn't find a candidate that I thought was unique or that I could even identify with, and not one of them gave a damn about women's safety or rights. And that stuck out to me. So I said to myself, I can see the fiscal responsibility issue that we have. I was in the mortgage business between 2004 to 2009. I have an understanding of housing and real estate and how this works. I am an entrepreneurial spirit and woman. I've lived entrepreneurial, I've had my own business since 2010. So I haven't worked for anyone else. And I've lived in California for 16 years. I've lived in all types of neighborhoods. I lived in Malibu. I lived in Bel Air. I lived in Beverly Hills. I lived in North Hollywood. I lived in West Hollywood. I had a 30-unit Airbnb business in Hollywood. So I know what our problems are as a citizen who lives here in the state and in the city of Los Angeles. And what I bring to the table is unity. I'm bringing a collectivism. I want us all to get together and fix our state. I'm not just the mayor of Los Angeles. I'm the mayor of California. I'm concerned with Altadena. You know,
That's so
no one
true.
mentions. No
That's
one
so
mentions
true.
Altadena. I looked up Altadena. I researched it, and I found that they didn't even have a mayor. That they have a technical mayor. I said, well, I'll be in there with the technical mayor and with my good friend, whoever gets elected into governor, and we will work to make the whole entire state of California the envy of the whole entire country.
Amen, sister. California, I'm in Illinois. I mean, we've got these states that have just been destroyed by terrible policy, and the liberal crazy agenda that absolutely has no common sense at all. You are politically minded. You never thought about this before. Like you said, you woke up when you saw the status of our country and the culture.
I saw the status of our country. I mean, we're supposed to be the United States. Like, even when you speak about Chicago, and I think about places like Chicago, Minneapolis, Dearborn, Michigan, Irvine, California, and I look at these states and I see that they're being, kind of taken over by different cultures, and how they're not acclimating, and how American culture is being lost, and the love for America is being lost, mainly by people who are from America who's never left. And the people that love our democracy are people who are not from our country because they understand how our democracy works. And that is why unity is more important than ever for our entire country. We're divided. Our state is at war with our federal, which is not going to ever lead to peace and work for us as a country. So we have to unite. We have to work together. Our state needs to work with the federal so that we can provide them the resources they can to do their jobs. We cannot fight against, we're at war with ourselves. Even like what I want to do in California, I believe if once we can do this in California, this will spread out throughout the states. And I would encourage that. I would say, hey,
That's right.
Illinois, How are you doing over there? Are your mayors working together? Is your DA working together with you? With your governor? Is everyone a united front over there? Because we need you guys to unite so that we can unite the whole country. I don't even know if we have a 6 month, every 6 months, where all the leaders of each state get together and talk about ways to come together as a country. Where is our unity? We are losing that. We need that back. We need that back in all states. But
We
I
sure
can
do.
only effectively do what I can effectively do. And I've got to lead by example where I am.
Well, so California goes, so the world, so the country goes a lot of the time, right? They end up being, unfortunately, leaders of a lot of these agendas, especially what they've done with the trans and the ideology with all that in California and vaccines, just everything. It's messy. We know there is a lot of mess that needs to get cleaned up, and parental rights are on attack, and girls aren't safe, and families are compromised, and it's messy. So thank you for taking a stand. I do want to talk a little bit more about you running, but first I do want to see, how was the response initially to the people in the gym and the people in your community right there when you announced this and when you championed this? Because I know the negatives, the bad guys are all out picking on us when we say truth. But from what I'm seeing, a lot of people are embracing your message 100%. And this is an 80-20 win. This is an 80-20 win. People are 80% in the court of protecting women's sports and spaces.
Absolutely. I think that what happened was the veil was removed. The lie. It was always a lie that people agreed with this behavior. It's a very expensive mission that they went on to convince everyone of this lie. And everyone was forced to play along for different reasons. Different people I spoke to, I speak to a white woman who's a mother and just living her life. She's like, I got called a bigot and a racist. And I'm like, damn, that's messed up. Because there's nothing racist or bigoted about that. But people are so afraid to be canceled by imaginary people and that people that don't know them. People have lost good old common sense. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. 100,000 people could stand in a circle and chant, you're transphobic, you're transphobic. And I'm going to look at all 100,000 of them and say, no, I am not. I know who I am. And we need to go back to knowing who we are. We are being tainted by critique and online bullies. Like, come on, man. That's not even real life. Half these people won't say that stuff to your face. And you got to realize that. Say, most of these people are paid bots. We are in a warfare,
You're
people.
right.
We are in an online warfare, information warfare. There are videos out there showing ICE capturing people at churches and stuff. And then you look closely at the video, and police is spelled wrong. And you realize it's AI, or they got
Right.
8 fingers on one hand. It's so easy to just put anything out there, and people they rage bait, and everybody's going for it. And if you go look at those little comments that say things like Trump is this, or this person's that, or that person's this, and you go look at where that place is from, India. You don't know what's going on in America.
You're on to them. You're on to them is right.
Yeah, like no,
Yes.
we gotta wake up. We can't trust the media. We
Right.
cannot trust the media.
How aggressive has the left or the trans community come after you? Because I wouldn't want to mess with you.
They don't want to mess with me either.
Would
They
not
don't
want to
want to
be
mess
messing
with me
with you.
either. They know I'm not backing down.
Yeah.
A few of the more popular ones reached out, and I respectfully told them, don't mansplain me womanhood. Thank you very much. No, I'm not easily persuaded. I'm not easily intimidated. And also, I'm standing for what's right. There
Yeah.
is nothing for me to hide. There is no way I would back down to anyone telling me that a man is a woman. I am not crazy, and it's just malarkey, and I don't understand how anyone could be convinced of this, but it's okay, guys. It was a very aggressive attack on our mental stability and our mental health that they forced this into us, and now we got to force
They
it out.
did force
We
it.
got to force it out. We got to remember that everything that's in front of us, our phones, they're meant to brainwash us. We got to get from at war with our young people, because our young people, you got to remember, 2020 happened. They were stuck in the house, and they were probably like 16 to 20 years old. And this is when they could remember life and really get some sort of understanding of life. And all they saw was a white man kneeing a black man in the neck and a bunch of people going crazy and being forced vaccines that we don't know what those vaccines had on everybody. We know there were some effects. And also their graduations, their communication, everything
Sure.
got taken from them. And all they got fed through TikTok was hate America propaganda. And now
Yeah.
they hate our country. So now we
Yeah.
need to incorporate programs again to send them somewhere on their senior years of 8th grade and 12th grade to go see outside the country so they can see the blessing they have here. Because they don't even know, they never left.
I
Moms,
know.
I'm with you. I'm not a mother, but I love my mother. My mother passed away 8 years. It was the worst thing that ever happened to me. And I
Oh.
understood more than ever why mothers are important when I lost my mother. And me and her had a wonderful relationship. You know, she taught me, honor thy mother and thy father, that thou they shall belong upon this land. And there are
Yes.
many Bible scriptures she taught me that I will always hold on to and remember, although I am not practicing any direct religion. I practice spirituality. I practice understanding that people are human beings and deserve respect, but you gotta give it and you gotta get it. I demand respect. And us as women, we have to demand it. We are
Yeah.
mothers. Maybe not
Sure
me,
did.
but we mother
Yeah.
the world.
All right, Mom, stay with us. We'll have more with our conversation with Tish right after the short break. Hi, moms. I'm excited to share some news about our new sponsor, the Herzog Foundation. We know you're passionate about raising patriots and empowering your children with the best education possible. And the Herzog Foundation shares that passion. They're dedicated to promoting liberty through education freedom and helping parents like you choose the best educational path. They offer a powerhouse of resources designed to support families and schools alike. Whether you're ready to dive in headfirst to the world of education or simply looking for more ways to empower your child's learning. From free training events to their must-read online publication, The Lion, they're committed to keeping you informed about what's happening in education. Also, if you've ever thought, moms, about starting your own Christian school or co-op, their Schoolbox online course will give you everything you need to get started on the right foot. Again, we are so proud to partner with the Herzog Foundation, and we encourage you to explore all their amazing tools and the insights that they offer. So go ahead, visit herzogfoundation.com to learn more. You won't want to miss these incredible resources. Again, find it all out at herzogfoundation.com. All right, welcome back, moms. But before we continue with our interview, I do want to remind all of you to please like, share, and subscribe our podcast. Moms need to hear this story because this is happening all across America. So please share this with your mom friends. Also, if you have an idea or a topic for the podcast, go ahead and please email me at podcast@momsforamerica.net. Love to hear your suggestions. Lastly, I want to invite all of our moms that are listening to join the movement here at Moms for America. It's moms like us all across this country uniting together for faith, for family, for freedom and the Constitution. How do you sign up? How do you join? You go to momsforamerica.us, you sign up there, you join the community, and we've got this really great membership platform now called Moms Town Square. So please check us out at momsforamerica.us and get all of our great resources and information to help you on your journey through motherhood. All right, now back to our interview. I said this in the speech at the Supreme Court when I was there, and I said, mothers aren't confused about gender. You know, we understand, you know, that we have a boy or a girl, and this is the life that they're on. And, you know, this isn't against anyone, but we have to be for truth. That's really what I said. And we got to be for truth, and we cannot have men groping, not groping, not touching, but just, I mean, what this is some kind of sickness. What do we call this? It's like, is it like a sexual fetish that men want to go into the locker room? There must be something incredibly stimulating for them. And I'm probably being graphic, but there's some kind of fetish. Normal people don't do this. They don't walk into a room nude and while other people are nude and pretend to be something.
I mean, more than anything, I'm more concerned with how we as a people allow this to become a law.
Yeah.
We allow this to happen. And then slowly
Right.
back to politics. This goes back to policies. This goes back to voting.
Sure
This goes
does.
back to us not paying attention. So
Yep,
the
sure
reality
does.
is I don't care why these men do it. I want to know why they're allowed to do it by our government. Why is our
True.
government protecting us?
True.
That's the problem. Why do we have such poor leadership that homelessness has become one of the main problems of America? When we are the richest nation in the world. I don't care what
True.
nobody says. We are the best nation in the
We
world.
sure are.
How are we doing this? Millions and billions are going out to everybody else's countries and everything but us. And we need to focus on us. We don't
Yeah.
need to focus on the problems. We need to focus on solutions. We don't need to
Right.
focus on why these guys are perverts. We need to focus on why these perverts are allowed to run rampant. No,
That's it. That's
we need to be
exactly it.
solution-oriented people. We
Because
need to
these
understand
can, yes.
that you have to be able to add, subtract, multiply, and divide. And
Right.
not, you know, I mean, now we got to know when to unite, you
Yeah,
know? And that's what
right.
we need right now. We need leadership. We
We
need
do.
people who aren't prepared politicians who care about their cities and states. We need mothers. We need fathers. We need brothers. We need aunts. We need children. We need everyone who cares about our country and the future
Yeah,
of our country
yeah.
to step in and
It
speak
is.
and use your voice and fight for what's right and organize
Yeah.
and vote for people that represent the things that are going to help you, not a color. Don't vote for blue or red. Vote for what's in their heads. You
Right.
know?
Right.
I
And
don't
what it right and what their objectives are and what they want to do and how they want to protect and guide our country. And legislation, like you said, legislation is so important. The two cases that we're talking about, the Supreme Court, those are laws that were passed, that are being challenged again. But unless we have this on the books and we have good leadership and we have laws that protect and guide, it's a free for all, unfortunately. And again, we've surprised we ever have to talk about men having fetishes, walking into to bathrooms and all these situations. The other thing is too, the men, the real men, need to step up and protect women. And the women need to step up to protect women. I mean, that's kind of like, how did we ever get that? I guess that's the most
our
shocking part of
government
this.
was supposed to protect us. Our government was
Or
supposed
we
to protect
too.
us.
Right.
Our government makes the laws. Our legislators make the laws. Our legislators are supposed to protect us. A man in his kitchen with his wife can't tell the lawmakers what to do if he doesn't know what they're doing. No one's paying attention. Pay attention to politics. That's what we need to do. We need to look at these midterms as our damn savior and start looking at who's running and get your ass out there and vote. Excuse my language, but we need to stop doing the blame game or who's no,
Yeah.
it's our own fault. Accountability is my
That's
superpower.
right.
I believe in anything that happens to me, I made happen. So I have to figure out how to unmake it happen. Nothing happens to me, I make things happen. And that's how we have to be. We have to be a country that makes things happen again, because that's who we used to be. And
Yeah.
that's who we need to be. Our government is supposed to protect us. And our government protected us when we paid attention to what they did and made them fucking held them
We
accountable.
have gone asleep. You're right.
We went to sleep, we're on TikTok, we're, you know, and it was a crafty plan
It
they
sure
put
was.
together to get us there. 2020 had a lot more to do with where we are than we think. Obama's first term had a lot more to do with where we are and his second term than than we think. And Biden's term, and I'm not here because, you know, like I said, I was just a normal human being making music and doing what inspired me, and I voted for Obama twice, and I
Okay.
voted for Kamala. I didn't vote for Biden, I didn't believe. So, you know, that year, I don't know who won, I can't remember, but I didn't vote for him. The
Okay.
point is we have a president who works very hard, and we have to ask ourselves, what do we do with our president, whether we like him or not?
Yeah.
He is our president. We have to respect our president, because that is how our country
Is
became our
led, right?
country. That's our life here. We need to love our country like our baby. All this white
That's
regret,
true.
white guilt crap, that it needs to stop, guys. White
Right.
women, you are not bigots because you don't think men should be allowed in women's room. Go back to not caring about what people said about you, please. I need white men to go back to not caring about what people had to say about you, because you know who you are. We know damn well that our country is not racist. We know we've been through the hells and the storms, but we've
Right.
been through them. We've been through them. I haven't
Right.
seen many babies born my color in the last month that as I seen the month before. There's less and less chocolate babies and more Biscoff babies, and we are welcoming every baby of every shade and color. The point is we are blending and making mocha chocolates everywhere, and we need to cut out the crap about racism and
That's
divide
right.
our country based on
Stop dividing, stop the
stop
victimhood.
dividing. We're
Yes,
Americans here,
we
and
are.
you know what? Black people, I think we're starting to realize that, you know, with the Somalians and what's going on with them and them trying to act like they us. No, we don't seem all skin folk ain't kinfolk, and all white folks ain't racist. I got very great white people in my life I love. I got very great black people in my life that I love.
Right.
Some people have stereotypical things that they think. We all have little things we think is funny. We're a country of honesty and humor, okay? We like to laugh. We like
Right.
Family God. We like
Yeah.
our culture, and we need to keep our culture. We need to stop
Yeah.
letting people soften us up and turn us into freaking, I don't even know, marshmallows or something. We gotta stop.
It is. It is. And this is what we love about your voice. It's very hard hitting. It's very honest. It's coming from someone that just basically came from a different space, because I've been involved, let's say, for politics for the past 25 years, you know, and it's yours is a different perspective. It's a different space. It's a different look. And I love that, because we need more people speaking truth and punching. And not being afraid to say it. When we were at the Supreme Court, I mean, you were not afraid to chase down some of these legislators, these representatives, these senators and congressmen out there, and saying, "Hey, you know, what do you tell us about that?" Because that's crazy. I saw some of that in person and online. You're chasing down these guys and asking them a couple of questions. What's the response?
Well, you know, with this particular situation, we're at the rally. I'm over here trying, we're trying to have our united, you know, rightfully done, you know, rally for the girls in the state case. And then we got these opposition over here doing
Yeah.
a ballerina contest and all kinds of weird stuff. And it was really pissing me off because they were yelling. The girls were not as loud as me. Not everybody. I'm very loud and I know how to position the mic so that I can hear everybody. That's why I'm always cupping the mic. This is a technique I use to make sure that my voice gets projected. And these little girls are saying their story and then over there screaming on the other side. So now I'm in the war zone. When you guys see me out there, when I'm talking to these senators, I'm fighting to get a voice. So I get a little bit more aggressive and a little bit more loud. It's not because that's my only demeanor. That is the way that I need to be when I'm on this war force, because I'm here,
It is a war.
a grown man. I don't even know how old he was. He looked ancient, and he's there fighting for boys to be in a locker room. Like you, when's the last time you've been in a locker room? Why are you even fighting for this? Go sit the hell down. Go do something that actually works. You sitting here fighting for good. No, I need to call you out. This is one of the senators that we need to get voted out. What's his name? Mackie, Narky, Weirdy, Snarky. I don't know his name. Ed Mackey, Ed Markey, Ed Markey, Ed Markey, Ed Markey. And you know what?
He'll
Brother,
remember you forever.
he better remember me because I'm talking to all his people. I'm like, they're in my comments, like, yes, we can't stand him. I said, so what are you doing about it? Go find them. They're like, we don't know. We hate them. I'm like, well, whoever that's going to get reelected that'll get them out is in these comments that lives in your state. Go find them. Get them. And that's my advice to people. It's not,
Yeah.
I'm not running for mayor because I'm like, everybody vote for me. I'm like the best mayor. No, I'm running for mayor because I needed to. I needed to. There's
How
no
did you know
mayor.
you needed to? When did that click?
When I started to look at the laws and I went to the senators and realizing all these councilmen, and I'm like, these people don't give a damn. I don't want to be one of them. They can't even get anything done and they don't know anything. They're too low down. Let me go up more. So I looked and I said, okay, mayors can make changes. Governors can make changes. This is the arena that I need to be in with these people. So I said to myself, let me find a candidate that I can support because I'm not a
Right.
politician and I'm not even thinking anything about getting in there. I'm just like, who can I get in there? I'm going to support
Right.
the best mayor that's up for election right now. And I look and I see nothing. I don't want to even say anything, but I didn't see anybody that I could relate to. And I
Okay.
definitely didn't see anybody talking about women's safety. And when I
Yeah.
saw what they were saying, I was like, duh, they're not saying anything. It's not rocket science that homelessness is a problem. The problem is that no one's willing to get to the root of the problem and go after the system. They're all Karen Bass, Newsom. They have tons of people around them facilitating this with them. It's the system. It
Yeah.
rhymes with Newsom, but it's the system. It ain't Karen Bass. She's a part of it. She's a part of a system. So how do we get the system corrected so we don't have another Newsom, so we don't have another Karen Bass?
Right.
That's the problem. And I am a problem solver. So I said, I need to get in there and I need to run. And then I looked at who was running for governor. I said, I like a lot of these people. The ones, they're not a lot. I have people that I'm looking at that I like. And I said, this is a bigger job. I don't spend enough time in Sacramento, Oakland. I was really hoping for Rick Caruso because he's a brilliant businessman. And I know that he would have been able to bring prosperity back to this city. And I honestly, if he would have ran for mayor, if he would have announced he was running for mayor after me, I would have stopped my campaign and I wouldn't have supported him. And I would have just joined in and made sure women's safety was a
Was a
factor.
part of it, right?
But he did not. And that was another message from God saying, no, you're not getting out of this. You're going to run. And so I believe I'm the best candidate for Los Angeles because I have lived in Los Angeles. I've had
Good
jobs.
boy.
I know what
Yeah.
it's like to work. I know what it's like to speak. I know what it's like to deal with people. Actually, that's my favorite part. I love dealing with people. It's my favorite part. I understand how to be solution oriented. I understand how to be a leader and how to select the right people to do the jobs because no one person is doing the jobs. It's just one person leading and kind of having a vision and getting the right people in place who want to make that vision happen. So I might
Yeah.
not be able to say each and every intricate part of how it will happen, but I'm like, listen, this is what I want to happen. And
You're gonna get it
the
fixed.
people who are going to make it happen. You want to make it happen, then you're in this boat. If you're not, you're out the boat, and I'm cool with that. I'm a very
No,
fearless
I
woman,
think this is
and I'm
it.
ready to lead.
And I'm not comparing you to Trump, but this is what I love about President Trump. He is a businessman, he's solutions, and he's going to figure out how to get the problem addressed and fixed. And you talk to anyone in that administration, they'll say what took prior administrations years to do or months to do, he gets done pretty much immediately. And that's what's lacking. Everything is at a standstill and it's all political chaos out
And
there.
that's
So I'm
what,
really excited for
and
you.
that's how you can see the difference in me because I went from locker room on a Monday to I flew to San Francisco on a Friday, and then I was back on Sunday and in the women's prison by Wednesday, and then I came back to LA. I'm moving very fast because
You
this
sure
is
are.
something that needs to happen. And when I saw the midterms were coming up, I said, okay, Tish, you don't got 10 years to get ready to be a mayor. You
Sure
ready to be
don't.
a mayor right now. If the people believe in you and they believe that you're the one that's going to hire the right people and that you will align yourself with intelligent, passionate
Yeah.
people and that you will mean what you say and say what you mean, look good doing it and make it lots of fun and unite our whole entire country, that's what I'm going to do.
You might be getting a couple of votes here now, Tish. I think, yeah.
Listen,
I'm
I just
excited
want
for you.
people
I really
voting.
am. I'm
You know,
excited
I'm
for you. I'm
excited and I
excited
want
for
to talk to
you
the
throwing your
moms.
hat in.
Listen, moms, I understand the struggle of being the child. I don't know how it is to be the mother, but I know how it is to be the child. And I remember when I finally realized that my mom was just a woman. When I realized that my mom, she's a woman. And our relationship grew so much more after that because I was able to support her as a woman. And when I realized that, I understood why she cared so much about what was happening in my school, why she cared so much about my friends, and why she
That's
cared so
right.
much about me wanting to run around when I thought I was partying, and why she was so worried. And I understand why it is very important for the school system to not have so much damn power over people's children. There is
Yeah.
no possible way that they should be holding
That's right.
secrets from the parents. That is
Yeah.
crazy. When I
That's
was a
right.
child and I babysit children, I used to always, you know, have a little, I had a little more of a masculine dressing style. And they'd be like, why are you dressed like a boy? And I'd be like, I don't know, ask your mother. They'd be like, why is this happening? I'm like, I don't know, ask your mother. That should be the answer whenever a child is asking you some inappropriate things about life, not to sit there and explain some new ideology that they don't know exists and then tell them that their parents don't know about it. And by the time you find out about it, you're your child's enemy?
Yeah.
Ridiculous. No,
Right. They've completely
that needs to
separated you.
stop.
Yep. Oh, 100%. You know our
That's
moms.
wrong. That's 100% wrong. And it's
It
child
is.
abuse. There are no trans children. There are only children being manipulated and confused by adults. And that is wrong. And we need to call that out every time. I don't care who your friends are. Hey, you're a trans kid. No, you don't. You're a weirdo. I can't even be friends with you. Don't let them break up with you. Break up with them. Because you know how many people that told me, oh, I lost my friends. I'm like, you should have cut them off first. crazy people talking about, oh, she doesn't respect that my kid is trans. I don't respect your kid is trans. What kind of weird you got going on over there? No, moms need to unite against this. No, do not support your friends who have
We've
trans
got to
children. There's no
protect our
such thing.
kids.
It's
Yeah.
abuse. You don't want people around you like that. When people ask me, oh, well, you're the LGB, whatever, and how are you going to feel about the trans not liking you? I said, I don't want anybody in my crowd that's going to feel like going in the bathroom is okay. I want my crowd safe. So if they're not there, great. What are
Right,
we talking
because
about?
to your point, you can't be called a homophobic because tell us what you're a
Because
lesbian,
I'm
right?
not. I'm a lesbian, but that has nothing to
Yes.
do with it. Even if I was straight, I could not be homophobic. No one can be homophobic unless they're homophobic. If you're not homophobic, even if you call a guy a name that you don't like how he acts because he acts like you called him, that doesn't make you homophobic. That's your opinion and you have a right to it. You don't gotta like everybody. Everybody doesn't have to like everybody. We have to respect each other. We don't have to inflict violence or pain upon each other. But if you don't like somebody, man, you don't like him and that's your choice. You don't have to have it in your life. You don't have to deal with it. No, that's your choice, puppy. You want to be a mommy? Great. But I don't got to deal with that. I don't need it. And that's how I avoided it because I didn't deal with it. If you were trans, good for you. I don't care. It's none of my business. I don't want friends like this because I don't want to spend my life questioning your life. It's okay. Live it. Just I don't need it. And that is okay, people. It is okay to not participate.
Final words to the moms about this issue. They may think that this isn't happening in their community. They may think this isn't as bad as we're talking about, but it is. If it's not, they're letting this happen in schools, in locker rooms, in our sports. And I think that sometimes the moms maybe don't think it's happening around them or touching their kids. And we say, if it hasn't yet, it surely will be. But we're
100%.
fighting back against it and we're making a big, big difference. But it's touching every community.
100%. I mean, I think the main thing that mothers should get from this is that, yes, this is a huge problem, whether you know about it or not. Ask your child, start spending more time with your children or your teenagers and ask them about their friends. Do you know anybody who's non-binary? You know anybody who's trans? And just find out. And then if they do, find out what they think about it. Talk to your children because the only way you have to save your children is the relationship that you have with your children. Because one thing is for certain, two things are for sure. If you have a great relationship with your children, no one from the outside can come
Can
in and tell
break it
your
up,
children
right?
and break that. They can't. They'll tell you, Mom, you know what somebody said to me today? And you'd be like, what? And you're gonna go be mama bear and protect them. But you
That's
have to
right.
be tapped in. Do not let that iPad raise your children anymore, because that iPad is giving them messages. A lot of those videos, you think you put it on a child's channel and you go 6 hours later and it starts teaching your kids some weird stuff. Because it's like an algorithm. It waits. It knows when the parents stop paying attention to the kid
It
after
sure
an hour
does
or two.
somehow.
And it's like, you know what? Boom. Now you got a video of a freaking kid in a dog outfit getting water poured on them. It's weird stuff out there. It's all over the internet.
And
Being
it's normalized, and
child
that's the
slander
problem.
is normalized, it's pushed, and our children are being sexualized. And there's a lot of warfare going on out there that's spiritual. And the best thing you can do is tap in, don't tap out. Start paying attention, be with your kids, and actually take interest in the politics and start groups about it. Start conversations about people running. If you want a district, if you live in a certain district, someone's running for your district and you want them to win, you gotta help them win. You have to go. Not just donations, because money is one thing, but effort is another. Conversation is
Boots
another.
on the ground.
You got to bring up the conversation about this at the dinner table. When Thanksgiving passed, I told everybody that followed me. I'm like, talk about it at the table. Tell them, do you know they're letting men in women's locker rooms? Because this is something people need to know. It's because it's silence that it hasn't been made aware. I
And
broke
this is what we've got to have conversation, right, Tish? We've got, and this is what Charlie's message was. We have to have a square that we can all talk about the issues that are facing us. And be okay with respecting one another and hearing one another out. It's like when we can't talk anymore, we can't educate one another or share our experiences, that's when everything shuts down and really hatred crawls in.
And I mean, another thing is we just have to be irremovable. We have to like be immovable from our actual principles. I don't need a trans education. There is nothing nobody can tell me about a man that's going to convince me he can become a woman. And that's what they will try to do. They will try to manipulate you, but you need the science. You need it. No, I don't. No, I don't. Telling me that gender is a sexual, a social construct, I'm like, what? The construction. Construct is a part of the word construction. You are constructing a new instrument in between your legs. That's the social construct right there to me. God created everyone how they are. Anything else is construction. To put it plain and simple.
According to Tish, very good, by the way. All right, so when's the election? I mean, this is going to
So,
be something. We got to follow
listen,
you.
I announced that I'm running for mayor about 4 days ago on the 15th. So that's 6 days ago. 6 days ago. So I'm heavy in the thick of it. I'm building my campaign team. This is completely grassroots. So I'm completely funded by the people for the people. And I've gotten the most amazing people that God sent to me to work with me on my campaign. So y'all about to see things get really, really interesting. And I'm gonna keep on growing and keep on going. But I need you guys to donate. Go to Hyman for mayor.com, Hyman, the number 4, mayor, Mayor. I'm not taking money from Apex. I'm not taking money from any big corporations. I need you to support me. What I do here in California transcends to the whole country because I'm all about unity and I'm nosy. I'm going to Chicago. Now I got friends in Illinois. I'm like, yo, you know, I do the Moms of America podcast. I need to go out there and see what's going on in Illinois. And I'm meeting with your leaders. Like, yo, how can we be of assistance to you here? Because that's how we should be doing it. Everybody's going out the country to assist them. Let's go within the country and assist each other.
That's right. That's right. And that's what we do at Moms for America. We help moms on their journey through motherhood. We talk about all topics that happen in your home and at your kitchen table. And we talk a lot about candidates. We talk a lot about the mom vote. I mean, moms, vote your values, vote your
Have
conviction,
you
vote.
gotten, are you guys, have you gotten Angela Stanton King on your show yet?
No, but I need to.
I need you to, because she's doing great work for moms. You know, she's
Yeah.
pro-choice, she's pro-life. I mean, she's not, I'm sorry, she's pro-life.
Pro-life.
Sorry.
That's
Pro-life.
Alveda. She's re related to Alveda King, right?
Yes, and she's
Yes.
very pro-life. So instead of, you know, just being pro-life, she's also providing solutions and help and getting women into
Yeah.
homes and helping them in Atlanta. And I feel like, you know, there's a lot of cross-pollination that can happen there. So I
Yeah.
definitely will introduce you guys, and I hope that you
I
can.
met her with you at the Supreme Court that day.
Yes, yes,
So, yeah.
yes.
Well,
I'll connect
thank
you
you,
guys.
Tish. I know that every time I've called you here to get you on, you're on this one, you're on Megyn Kelly, you're here. So I'm so delighted that you stopped by the Moms for America. And again, protecting women's sports and spaces, and you being such a strong voice. Courage is contagious. So carry on, sister, and good luck in all that you're doing. We're going to follow you, and our moms were just delighted to hear your story. You went viral, and now we you're kind of like coast to coast. So it's nice to have you here with us because a lot of us saw that and we were like, "Wow, yeah."
Don't worry, I'll be coming out to Illinois as soon as I can. Whenever I'm there, I'll make sure I'll tap in and come see the moms. Moms are important to me. I love all the mommies of the world. And I just want to let y'all know you have my support. And I will not stop fighting for you and your children and
And
grandchildren
kids.
and all the women of the future
Yeah.
ever.
All right. God bless. We
Thank you.
appreciate you, Tish.
Thank you so much.
Again, special thanks to Tish for being a champion for our girls and women, our sports, and their spaces. All right. And to you, moms, thank you for joining us again today. Please like, share, subscribe, do all that with this podcast. Let your moms know about Tish's interview with us. And again, for more information about Moms for America and all the amazing programs and resources that we have to support you, mom, you go to momsforamerica.us. We like to say this every week and remind everyone that we have everything from parental rights to public policy, everything from the kitchen table to Congress. Again, check us out at momsforamerica.us. We have it all. We're the ultimate support group, moms. All right, moms, I will see you next week, and let's keep changing our country one home at a time. Thanks. And God bless. A special thank you to our sponsor, the Herzog Foundation. The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of the Herzog Foundation.